issues, and pray for me that as I navigate through that which God wants me to bring to you, I can do it without being too frustrated, as Teresa came across yesterday when I was sitting there. I just want it to come in a way that you understand it, because it doesn't do me any good to waste my words and give you something that you just can't grasp. And I just pray that God gives me that blessing to do that for you. Father, I ask by the power of your Holy Spirit,
yes,
to allow me to bring forth the importance of faith today. Next week, as I define faith and I really give a definition I believe is from heaven, I pray that as these weeks unfold that we will not just know it, but we will embrace it. We will live by it. And the just shall live by faith. We will begin to see heaven come alive. As we sang it this morning, come alive on earth. And that is our goal, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I want to begin our study by examining two statements made by Jesus to begin with, so we get the importance of why we're doing this, okay? Matthew 19:26. And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. So they must have been asking him a question. We know that. We're not going to get it. It's not part of the sermon. But with God, he was talking about Daddy, all things are possible. I don't think that's a mistake. I think it's very easy for us to understand that, right? He's God. He can do anything. So I think that part. I think you have that part. I think I have that part. But he also made another statement. And I just wonder if it's just as easy for you to believe this. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said to him, if you can. And he was questioning whether or not Jesus had the power to heal him. And this is Jesus' response. All things are possible to him who drives a yellow Camaro. All things are possible to him who believes. Now, with God, all things are possible. Now he's saying all things are possible to the one, to him, to whosoever believes. That's where we get stuck. In each of these statements, we find the words, all things are possible. Hillsong wrote a song about it. All things are possible. It's easy to sing about, it's easy to think about, it's easy to say, amen, yeah, that's what the scripture says, but do you believe it? Oh, we can see where faith's going to come in, right? Do you really believe it? We know that in the first passage it's applied to God. We know that in the second one it's applied to those who believe. We've got to equally accept that all things are possible to those who believe, because it's the word of God. And we know that God doesn't lie. So if we question that, we're calling God a liar. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to do that. So now what Jesus is basically saying is that through faith, through belief, the things that are possible to God are made equally possible to the one who believes. Probably could stop right there today. And you'll wonder why we're talking about faith. I'm going to say it again because it's a very important statement. Through faith, the things that are possible to God are made equally possible to the one who believes. I'm going to give you these keys, Terry, because I know I'm going to end up jingling them and you're going to get mad at me. My fingers get antsy when I... Do you think that's worth studying? I do, and that's why we're going to be going through this, guys. Bill Johnson said this. A lot of you know Bill Johnson, Bethel Church, California, Redding. It is abnormal for the Christian not to have an appetite for the impossible. It has been written into our spiritual DNA, our nature, to hunger for the impossibilities around us, to bow to the name of Jesus. I feel like I need to say that again. It's abnormal for us as Christians not to have an appetite for the impossible. It's been written into our spiritual DNA to hunger for the impossibilities around us, to bow to the name of Jesus. Do you know how many people, I know this is sad, and I'm not pointing fingers, but do you know how many people attend movies like Superman, Batman, Frogman, I don't know, there's all the kinds of things. There's a something man going on every other week. It's Incredibles and the, you know, think about it. Anything that has to do with supernatural ability, people flock because they just want to see the supernatural occur. The things that they can only imagine might be possible for them. And you know what's so crazy about that is that we go and we realize, and the devil likes to say, well, that's all, and stuff like that. And it truly is with a lot of the movie-making ability of that stuff. But if you really examine things closely, mankind has been sent from God to this planet, and he was sent to have dominion over everything. We were to walk supernaturally with God. We were supernatural. We were never to die. Philip transporting from one place to the other and flying, Superman, hey, and stuff like that. You know, that today we just go, well, that can't happen. Can it? How did Philip get from where he was to the eunuch and from the eunuch to where he needed to be? All things are possible when we're on assignment from God. You couldn't heal a flea. And yet if you laid hands on someone and God is moving through you, the dead shall rise, the lame shall walk. These are not just songs or a historical perspective of what saints of old could do. This is the possibilities to them who believe. It's age old. It's back to Abraham. It goes all the way back to Adam. Jesus restored all things. And he said it's finished. What was done with this, what the devil just screwed all up, we've got back in Christ. If we come to understand and believe and receive and operate in and exercise, all those are verbs. That's why church isn't doing it today a lot, because we're passive. We're sitting out there and we want to hear great praise teams. We want to stand up and hear great preachers. And you know, we want to go serve, like my brother said, oh, let's just go serve. As if God needs a bellhop. We were not created to be servants. We were sons. Our mission is to serve because that was God's mission, to serve. But that's not who we are. We're sons. We're huios. We're sons and daughters. We're God's family, and he's got us on assignment on this planet to do what heaven wants us to do, and we forsook that, and that's why we're going through what we're going through now. But we don't have to wait to the sweet by and by and a recreated earth to rule over the planet anymore. We can still do it now. But there'll only be a remnant that's doing that. There'll be a road of people that are doing that. That's what Jesus said. But it won't be because we don't portray it, and it won't be because we aren't exercising it, at least not in this church. And I don't care if I do it a billion times before I get it right. That next time and the time after, we're going to keep doing it because it's the Father's will for us to do so. It's called believing and receiving. Now, there's no distinction, come to understand this, in the original Greek between the words believing and having faith. Believing, you could say believing, or you could say having faith. As far as the Bible is concerned, believing is exercising faith. And when you exercise faith, you are in the state of believing. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells me so. Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to give you an exhaustive amount of these because we need to get this. I'm tired of hearing sermons on faith. I want to live it. That's why it's called living by faith. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came up to him, and Jesus said to them, "Listen, do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." "Do you believe?" Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." Well, do you believe? He would have said, it shall be done to you according to your belief. But he used the word pistis, faith, synonymously. Do you believe and faith are the same thing? Matthew 10 to 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I've not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come in from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Praise God, we're going to be in that bunch. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you as you have what? Had faith. He could have said that. It's the same word. Have believed. He's just interchanging the two statements. And the servant was healed that very moment. James 2, 17 to 22. Even so, faith, if it has no works, if it's not exercised, right? You can have faith, but if you don't exercise it, you know, it's like having $1 million we talked about last week in the bank, and it's not going to do you any good if you don't spend it. Even so, faith, if it has no works, no exercise, you don't exercise, it's dead. Being by itself. It's just a noun. It's not a verb. It's a noun. Hey, it's faith. You got it? Wow, what is it? Let me show you. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and they shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. So belief and faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Same spirit of faith, belief. Go to Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God, to please Him. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. Faith and belief. One more, Romans 10:8-10. Everybody quote this one. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. Faith, which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. As you can see, folks, faith is synonymous with believing. And so incredibly important in pleasing God, because without it, we can't. There's no way to preach around that. It's just a fact. So, faith, believing, important to please Him, to approach Him, and to receive His life. We read those in the Scriptures. Even receiving His life, you got to have faith. So faith is involved even in receiving His life, in approaching God, in pleasing God. It's just got such weight to it. So it has to be a way of life for the Christian. That's why the just shall live by faith. Scripture tells us repeatedly just that. That the just, and who are they? Well, we're going to see. Shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous, who's righteous here today? Come on. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's put His cloak of righteousness right over you. But the righteous will live by his belief, his faith. Correct. Go to Romans 1:17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Righteous and just, same thing. Galatians 3:11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous or the just man, shall live by faith. Wow, the scripture has a lot to say about that. How about Hebrews 10:38? But my righteous, the just one, shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Obviously, this is a New American Standard. If you were reading your King James, it says just. But that's because you can choose either word, just like you could say faith or belief, because they're synonymous. The righteous shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And who are the just? Just means those declared righteous or in right standing with God. So just means right standing with God, or righteousness means right standing with God. Same one. And that's us. That's us. Okay? So we are instructed right here, and why I'm doing this series, to live by faith. So we better know what faith is, right? Consequently, when we do, when we live by faith, Father God is moved by our actions and thus moves according to our faith. Whoa. He's moved by our actions, and then he moves according to our faith. Now, this might be tough for you to understand, but it's truth. God does not intervene simply because we have a need. And it got quiet. Jesus met our needs at the cross. He has given us, listen now, he has given us a measure of faith to live by, not even your own. When you accept him as Lord and Savior, he gives you a measure of faith to live by. And when you activate it, which he called on the disciples to do many times, he showed them, here's how it's done, boys. We're just stubborn. It's hard for us to transition from the natural, physical, 3D realm we live in to living in the Spirit, to living according to the Word, to trusting that deeply. That's the only problem we have, is that we're so into our bodies and tangible and physical that we have a trouble living in the Spirit, living by faith, living in the invisible realm, trusting in the invisible realm. We just want to trust in sight and everything we see, but it's so hard to live without seeing something and just believing that it is, which we're going to get into a little more next week. Because, you know, we know that there's a floor underneath this rug, but you can't see it. You just trust it's there. You know it's there. I couldn't convince you that it's not there. Because Jesus has met our needs, and because he's given us a measure of faith to live by when it's activated, the Bible says even a mustard seed's worth can meet a need or move a mountain. Not just meet a need, but move a mountain. If you had a mustard seed full of faith, Jesus is saying, that's how powerful faith is, the concept of us having that, that literally we could move a mountain, a circumstance, meet a need, heal somebody, raise them from the dead. That's how powerful faith could possibly be in our lives. Yes. Once again, God has chosen for us to live by this faith, not by constantly asking him to do what he has left for us to do. That's how important faith is. Well, God's just not answering my prayer. Yeah, he did. 2,000 years ago, he answered our prayers. And he met every need that you have. And he met your health needs and your prosperity needs and your eternal security needs and everything. He didn't have to go back and do it again. He said it's finished. His part is finished. But we're completing what Jesus began, aren't we? We're going to come to completion one day. So things are completed, but yet are in progress, if that makes sense. How could it be? Well, same yesterday, forever. I don't understand that either. I don't understand the triunity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet three in one is one. By faith, I act that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one God. And he can do circles around my brain. And because he can, that's what gives me my faith. It's because I know that I'm not it. I'm not the ultimate of what God created. Wow. But in his eyes, I am. And you are. Because he would have died for any one of us. when there was just one. Two, actually. Adam and Eve. So, why do we keep asking him to do what he's already left for us to do? Folks, God finished his part by getting back for man the authority he once had to rule. Yes. He now expects us to walk in that authority and power by faith. We just have to learn how to express it. And so the Apostle Paul lists some ways that our faith should be walked out or expressed in his letter to the Ephesians. We're going to just look at a few of those and then we'll close today. And then next week we're going to talk about really what faith is and the definition. And I hope that it's going to be, if you don't miss any, don't miss next week if you're going to miss any part of this series, because it's what I'm racking my brain over to try to get across to you of what faith and its definition is for us. But we do know that it has to be expressed. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. We were created for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would what? Walk in them. By faith, we are to what? Walk in good works. Not for salvation, but as a fruit of salvation, knowing that God created us to do as a part of our relationship with him. As part of, you said it up there, we're co-laboring with God. Fellow servants with God. We walk in good works. Why? Because we're in relationship with God, and good works demonstrate kingdom life. So by faith, trusting that God's order is the best order and his governmental order is the best order and that he's a good God and he's holy and that there is no evil in God's heaven. Because we are his sons and his daughters, we are simply just to walk in good works because it's part of who we are. It's his family. It's just what we do. It's who we are. Kind of like the other day we were listening to the radio on Focus on the Family and the Duck Hunters, or not the Duck Hunters, but the Duck Dynasty or whatever they got it. Duck Hunters. Yeah, they are Duck Hunters. They don't apologize. It's who we are. We heard about a man. You marry me, when duck season comes, I'm there every day. Don't marry me if you don't want me out hunting. I'm just giving you advance warning. I don't want to deceive you, but I will be duck hunting every day. And if you don't like that, then don't get married to me. It's who we are. It's what we do. We are Christians. We are God's sons and daughters. We represent heaven to earth. We are to have dominion. We are to live by faith and not by what we see. We are to trust in God's word over everything. And we are to demonstrate it before the world because it's who we are. Not because we have to. It's just now our assignment as part of the family. Just as much you're given assignment by your parents to clean the toilets and to do the things that you need to do to help keep the house up. You just don't get a free pass without helping to clean the house when you live in the house. It's part of our family responsibilities. God says, faith, the faith walk is to walk in good works. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk. Now, how are we walking? In a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. Humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for another one in love. Are you doing that? Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Are you doing that? See, we're to be walking in this. Being diligent to preserve unity in the Spirit of peace. Gentleness. Faithfulness, all of that, that's part of who we are. God doesn't say, hey, study it, have a Bible study on it, go to church every other week on it or every week on it. No, it's not a subject for study. It's a subject, we live this out. We're to walk in good works. We're to walk worthy of the calling. What calling? The call that God gave you to join the family. He put a call out and said, hey, I want you to be part of the family. The only requirement you have is to trust and believe by faith in my Son. He made a way for you. I've called you. But when you come on board, and you become part of family, it's not going to be a picnic. It's not going to be like everybody says to you, oh, when you come to Christ, that everything's just going to be okay. No, we've become the elite of the elite. We're part of the inheritance. We are princes and princesses now of the kingdom. We have responsibilities. We have the responsibility to show the way to walk, to show the world that there's a greater power, there's God Almighty that's in charge of everything. And we're sons and daughters, and this is the way it's going to be forevermore, so you better get used to it now. So start walking in humility, start walking in patience, start walking in this. But don't just do as I say, do as I do. So it's important for us to do and not just say it, because we used the example before, even the devil believes in God. So don't walk around calling yourself a Christian just because you believe in God. That didn't work. Because the devil and the evil spirits that Jesus came up to, whoa, don't cast us before our time. They knew that he was God. So what? You know he's God. Are you walking in him? Are you abiding in him? Have you put your faith in him? It's real. Faith is tangible. Faith has substance to it, and we're going to talk about that next week, but that's what we've got to get. It can't be some ethereal idea of, oh, it would be wonderful to have maybe a little more of it and stuff like that. No, you got all you need. Just start walking and exercising what you got. Walk worthy of the calling. Walk in good works was first. Walk worthy of the calling that he's given you, and that is love, humility, other-orientedness, unity. You know the drill. Ephesians 4, 17 to 19. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord. Wow, isn't this kind of cool? I'm affirming together with the Lord. Gets back to what my brother preached up here 10 minutes ago or 15. How many minutes? It's probably been a little bit longer than that, hasn't it? Together with the Lord, I affirm that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding. See, we have no excuse for ignorance. There is no excuse to God that says, oh, I didn't know, I'm sorry, I just thought I could live life. It's all about me. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have been given themselves over to what? When we don't care about what God thinks, we give ourselves to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity, with greed, the love of money, sex, all that stuff. We have no rules. There's no boundaries. We just live life according to the way we want to live it for as many years as we got on this earth. And then you think you're just going to go to nothingness and nothing's going to happen, when every soul will give account of their life to God. And so God's just telling us in advance, when you come into the family, work worthy of the calling, work worthy of the good works. And as believers, it says what here? By faith, we are to walk as believers, not Gentiles, but believers, making it a priority to transform our thinking into the way God thinks, not the way the world thinks. Right. You have got to take your mind out of the worldly thinking manner and mode and put it onto the godly manner mode. That means you got to get into his word. You know, the least you could do is go to church every Sunday and get it from the preacher, but you don't want to rely on that. Get into God's Word. Saturate yourself with it. Chew it, eat it, absorb it. Because the more you do, the more nourishing it'll be for you, the more blessings you're going to get out of it, the more faith you're going to build up in yourselves. Why? Because it's there. It's kind of like God's giving you that measure of faith. Now you water that thing. Whew! You're going to see the birds nesting your branches. Because that tree of life is just going to explode out of you. And healing and deliverance. It's there. It's ready. Every one of you have the potential. Yes. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. By faith we're to walk in love. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God the Father as a fragrant aroma. So we're to walk in love, imitating Jesus, considering others more important than yourself. That's the bottom line. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9. So we're to walk in love as well. Walk as believers. Walk worthy of the calling. Walk in good works. These are all attributes of faith. Because if we don't have faith and we don't believe there's a God and we don't believe that he's going to judge us one day and all that kind of stuff, eat, drink, and be merry, for life is short. Solomon said, right? It's true. If you don't have God as a measuring rod or boundary rod or something like that, then you have all holes barred. You could do anything you want in life. You're not accountable to anything or anybody. I'm here to tell you that that's just a doctrine of demons, and if you believe that and you think you're going to take your last breath and die and not have to face your maker, well, you will be finding things different. For you were formerly in darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as what? We're also to walk as children of light. And that what means what? Exhibiting the fruit of light. Huh, how about that? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. So we are to walk as children of light, exhibiting goodness, righteousness, right behavior, and truth, not lying, not participate in evil. Turn away from evil. Hello, here it is. Turn away from evil, which is really repentance. Turn away from evil and turn towards the light. Go towards the light. There's some truth to that. There really is. And if you love somebody really, 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 really very much and you don't want to see him leave this world too early, you're saying, stay away from the light. Don't walk toward it. But that's not us. He's talking about be children of truth, be children of goodness, be children of righteousness, stay away from evil. It's simple. One more, Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Making what? The most of your time. These are evil. God wants us to make the most of our time. So then do not be foolish, but understand what? What the will of the Lord is. What the will of the Lord is. So we are to walk by faith. We are to walk in the wisdom of the Lord, which means that we must understand and apply God's word, which is what we're trying to do here now, right? Making the most of our opportunity to represent Daddy. That's what this says. This scripture is telling us to walk in the wisdom of the Lord, understand and apply His word that He has given us and placed within us, and make the most of this opportunity to represent Daddy well. Folks, God in His infinite wisdom chose to establish the dynamic of faith to be the bridge to Himself and to His word. It is the means by which the Holy Spirit moves on our behalf in power. Wow. Faith is the means by which the Holy Spirit moves on our behalf in power, and we are instructed to live by it. Mark 5, 35 and 36. While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, what was spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer." And he gave him only two words. And what were they? Only believe.